Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You got to wonder if Greg Smith's very public resignation from Goldman Sachs came up at the events where Mitt Romney was raising cash in New York yesterday, but we'll probably never know because those are decidedly closed-door events. Wall Street has been a central part of his fundraising strategy, was for Obama in 2008. We'll see after Dodd-Frank if it can be so again this year. Joining me now to talk about the New York financial sector, ties to the Romney campaign, ties to the Obama campaign, Anna Sale, political reporter for our politics website, It's Free Country. She has a related story up on the site right now. And Nick Confessori, political reporter for the New York Times, writing about Romney's fundraising. And maybe you saw his front page article yesterday about President Obama's uphill climb to raise super PAC money. Hi, Nick. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Anna, what were those events yesterday? Where was Romney exactly? Who was he meeting with?
Governor Mitt Romney was in New York City at the Waldorf Astoria. Then he went up to Connecticut, where he was in Stamford, Connecticut, and then a private fundraiser in Greenwich, Connecticut. And he was at fundraisers with, you know, Republican fundraisers in town, some former Republican candidates. In Connecticut, a former gubernatorial candidate, Tom Foley, was one of the candidates. And also Wall Street, which has been a huge part of his fundraising effort so far.
Nearly a fifth, I read, of the $63 million that the Romney folks have raised so far have come from the New York area, more than from any other area. Why is that? Is it just that Wall Street is here with all its money? You don't think of this as the heart of Romney country.
Well, you know, Mitt Romney comes from finance, so these are his people. When you see that the 9 of his top 10 fundraising zip codes are in the New York City area or the suburbs of Connecticut, that sort of is in line with that. But also look at the dynamics with Barack Obama and Wall Street, because Mitt Romney has raised nearly 3 times what Barack Obama has raised from Wall Street this year. But it's still less than what Barack Obama raised from Wall Street at this time in the cycle in the 2008 campaign. That's according to the Center for Responsive Politics through January 31st. So, again, all of these numbers lag because we don't get immediate disclosures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have both. These are Mitt Romney's people, and these are also people who may have supported Barack Obama 4 years ago and are looking for an alternative.
You have some tape here of supermarket magnate John Castamatidis, who owns the Gristidis chain. He held a fundraiser for Romney this week at the Waldorf Astoria. This was one of the events yesterday. Here's Katsimatidis.
I was a Clinton Democrat. I loved Bill Clinton. I thought Hillary Clinton would be a great president. I supported Hillary Clinton. We gave Obama a chance. We hoped that Obama would do a good job. But he's on class warfare mode. And I don't think that's the way to run this country. I grew up in a poor side of town. I worked hard all my life, and I made it in this country, and God bless America. And I just think Mitt Romney has common sense. He's a stable individual. He's not a crazy Republican.
So, and I'm really interested in the end of that. I think Mitt Romney has common sense. He's a stable individual. He's not a crazy Republican.
Yes, there's so much in that piece of tape. You hear not a crazy Republican, which is an interesting commentary on the Republican primary campaign up to this point from the New York City perspective. Then you also have that he was a Bill Clinton supporter. And now, and you also hear he's disenchanted with President Obama, and it comes down to class warfare. And then he says, I'm a free enterprise Republican. I'm somebody who believes in economic opportunity in America. He's not talking about social issues. So that's just such an interesting piece of tape because I think it really crystallizes some of these New York Republicans and where this money is coming
and
from.
And Nick, what about the enthusiasm level? We keep hearing how unenthused people are voting for Romney, even when they're voting for Romney. And yet he seems more at home among the executives he's trying to raise money from. Are they enthusiastic about him as they donate to his campaign at these New York events?
I think so. I mean, with growing enthusiasm, certainly. You know, a lot of these guys in New York were huge fans of Chris Christie, and a significant portion of the New York, you know, financial base for Republicans were extremely excited for a Christie run when he bowed out. Most of them swung behind Romney, and I think there is an incredible amount of anger and frustration with President Obama among conservative finance people in New York. So that combines to give Romney a good base of support here. It's certainly been an ATM for him, as it is for really all candidates of all parties. I mean, kind of all, you know, New York, California, Florida, Texas are really the places where most campaign money is raised. Doesn't matter which party you're from.
You wrote yesterday about President Obama returning again and again to New York, most recently on March 1st, this past March 1st, for several events, including a $38,500 a plate dinner at ABC Kitchen near Union Square. That better have been a really good slab of meatloaf. 80 people were there. But his numbers among the financial industry, as Anna was saying, are way down. How far down, and what are the implications?
It depends how you count it, and it's a bit arcane here, but President Obama can raise money for the Democratic Committee, for the National Party, in huge increments of $30,000 apiece. He can raise $5,000 from each person for his own campaign. And so this is a bit of an arcane issue. You can say that he's raised more cash from Wall Street than Romney, and he probably has. But I suspect if you look at the itemized donors and look at how many people at financial firms are contributing to each candidate, Romney is certainly ahead. And when he becomes a nominee, or if he becomes a nominee, he can also help raise those large contributions into the Republican national committee.
And your front page story yesterday about the Obama folks worried that their super PACs are falling so behind the Republican super PACs, like $6 million versus $51 million through the end of last year. Why such a big disparity?
It's kind of fascinating. I mean, the president kind of reinvented traditional campaign finance 4 years ago. He blew up the hard dollar fundraising system of raising $2,500 from each person per election. He did it better than anyone else has done ever in history. And then all of a sudden the rules have changed on him, and his side is being out-hustled under the new rules. And the reasons are manifold. You know, one is that there are a lot of, kind of liberals who are wealthy who are not happy with him on policy. Let's take the environment, for example. You know, there are some kind of wealthy California folks who are unhappy with the stances on global warming or the policy direction of the administration, so they hold back their money. There's also an older group of wealthy liberals, George Soros, Peter Lewis, who gave a lot of money to progressive and liberal institutions and research organizations and movement groups in past years with the hope of kind of building up a broader infrastructure of ideas and activism on the left. They are less enthusiastic about giving money, handing over a few million dollars to an operation that's run by political operatives, controlled effectively by the president's side or by a politician's team. And so you see a bit of a problem there. You know, the same people who funded these organizations in the past, outside groups, think tanks, are not as into super PACs. And finally, on the left, you find a lot of wealthy donors who, on principle, are really opposed to super PACs, which descend from Citizens United. They see it as a version of too much money in politics. A lot of these guys have also financed campaign reform groups in the past, so it would seem hypocritical to them to then give money to these groups that they abhor.
And so, Anna, you had a piece on It's a Free Country recently about Obama raising money from Silicon Valley and other California sources. Dinner with George Clooney, was that in that piece? And stuff like that. So has the geographical center of gravity for the Obama campaign and the pro-Obama PACs shifted from the East Coast to the West Coast?
Well, he's had the East Coast and the West Coast in 2008, and he's got supporters in the East Coast and the West Coast in 2012. I looked at the list of bundlers in New York City, in New York State, and there has been some turnover in bundlers who were raising a lot of money in 2008 who aren't doing it in 2012. So there is has been some turnover there, but that was also what happened in 2004 when George W. Bush was running again. His bundlers sort of turned over, according to the Campaign Finance Institute. So I don't think we can make major sort of conclusions from that. But I think what Nick was saying about these sort of all of the reasons that the super PAC disparity exists is one important point that he makes is this shadow campaigns that happened before with liberals raising money. That Americans Coming Together group, I don't know if you remember in 2004, that was George Soros funded. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remember to talk about that, because I think often what what Democrats have said is, oh, this is an ideological thing. They don't like Citizens United. They don't like the idea of massive outside spending. And we have to remember that there was a huge progressive effort knocking on doors, union folks on the ground, in support of John Kerry's effort, but not outside of that campaign in 2004.
And what about
Rock?
And it failed?
It failed. And that's one reason some of these guys feel burned. They spent $200 million to try to beat George Bush, and it did not work.
They came within a few votes in Ohio.
And there were also a lot of, people like Soros and Lewis, I think, are tired of taking all the heat of being the anchor tenants, so to speak, of these large groups, of these outside groups. They would like a broader donor profile so that they don't have to take all the heat from the press and from conservatives who are targeting them for financing the groups.
So, Anna, before you go, if some of Romney's and some of Obama's big money comes from the same pockets or similar pockets here in New York, what about Rick Santorum? Because when you look at the Obama zip codes, they're around here. They're on the West Coast where you'd think they would be. The top 10 Romney zip codes that you published on It's a Free Country related to the fundraising trip yesterday, behind 33480, which is Palm Beach, came 10021, which is the Upper East Side, and 06840, which is New Canaan, Connecticut, and 06830 and 31, which is Greenwich, and then 10128, which is also on the Upper East Side. I mean, they're all in the metro area. Not true at all for Rick Santorum, right?
No, not true at all. You look at his campaign fundraising that we've seen so far, and nearly a quarter comes from Pennsylvania, which makes sense. That's where he's from. That's where his base of support is. But, you know, we're talking about wildly different sizes of pots of money. Rick Santorum does not have nearly the amount of money that Mitt Romney has. But, you know, that's what is happening on the campaign trail. That's what's interesting to watch. The fact that Mitt Romney has all of this base financial support from Northeast Republicans is something that makes a lot of Republicans in other parts of the country a little nervous. You know, New York bankers are not popular among some Republican pockets, and that's been something historical. That's been going back to Nelson Rockefeller. So, you know, you have the money momentum. Mitt Romney has the dollar amounts. But then you've got to look at, you know, the energy momentum right now, and I think that's what we're watching on the campaign trail.
I just want to touch one more of these numbers because I think it's really revealing. The Romney campaign relies heavily on big donors, apparently. Last month, the Campaign Finance Institute found that 66% of Romney's contributions were from donors who had already hit the $2,500 legal limit. 10% of his campaign funds came from donors who gave $200 or less, just 10% from those small donors. How does that square with what you're hearing here in New York or in Connecticut? And that's a lot different from at least what the Obama campaign did in 2008.
Well, what that means, you know, operationally is these are supporters that the Mitt Romney campaign, they can't go back to during the primary season and say, can you give us $50? We need another $100. This is a pivotal primary. Show up. So that's why that matters. And
Nick, is this going to contrast with the Democrats? Are we going to see Romney raising money from big donors and Democrats raising money from smaller donors, assuming Romney's the nominee?
I think at the end of the day, Romney will have a much better performance among small donors if he's a nominee. I think the dislike for President Obama among the grassroots conservatives is strong enough that they will give to beat Obama. But it's a question of whether, you know, hate or love is the most, you know, powerful driver of contributions at the grassroots level. You know, what's kind of amazing about the Obama fundraising operation, it is the only one in politics that combines a really impressive high-dollar network and a really impressive small-dollar network. They have both the grassroots money and the big money, and it adds up to a lot of money. Romney has a good big money network. Ron Paul has a good small, you know, a grassroots network. Mm-hmm. But there's no Republican candidate right now that has both.
Nick Confessori, political reporter for The New York Times. Anna Sale, political reporter for our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. She has a story on Romney and the New York money tree up on the site right now. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll continue our series on sleep that we're doing every Thursday this month. We'll talk mostly about snoring and the number one question that you wanted us to tackle in this series based on the post to our website, and that is, Where does sleep apnea come from, and what can you do about it? Stay with us.